All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And let me tell you, I see this guy at Knicks games, Stephon Marbury. And when he was right next to the court the other night, I thought for a second if it was a crucial play in the game, and luckily the Knicks just beat the crap out of the Celtics, so it wasn't necessary. If Brown was going up for a shot, I thought you were coming right off the bench and you were just going to run off the court and smack a ball.
Anything it takes. At this point, we need everything, all of the energy. Actually, the fans really had Jaylen Brown so spooked that he was passing the ball to invisible people. The Garden was so crazy. It was so loud, so lit. So for me, if I could bring that energy right there in that area where we prevent them from scoring, I'm on it.
And obviously we'll talk about the shades with Camelo because I know that you guys got a great deal going on as we were talking a few weeks ago. But to see what the Knicks did in that game six, that wasn't only a win. That was a statement, and it felt like, okay, New York basketball, the Knicks are actually back.
It's a shift in culture. I look at basketball in New York as this is a monumental time for us. Like, we are on pace. After 25 years, we haven't felt this feeling in so many years. And, you know, for myself as a kid growing up, you know, Sprewell and 99 during the lockout year when the Spurs won, right? Like, that was the last time the city felt this type of energy. And to feel this energy, to be here, to support the team, it's monumental.
And it's been pretty cool how the organization and really the fans embrace guys that played. Because, right, in New York, your career with the Knicks was up and down. Yeah. But you now go to the Garden, and not only are fans showing you love, but then afterwards, you're going and partying up in the streets in that 100%. Mayhem.
At the end of the day, I'm a New York City kid. I'm from Coney Island, Brooklyn. Yeah. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like, Mr. Basketball of New York. Like, I played in the Garden in high school, college with Georgia Tech. I played in the NBA. So, like, it's not too many people that can say that they've done that. So, for me, yeah, my career was up and down. It was crazy. Like, so wild and so many lessons that turned into blessings. But more importantly, you know, to be here and to cheer and for all of the guys, Bernard King, Carmelo Anthony, Patrick Ewing, Starks, John Wallace. I mean, it's endless, just endless amounts of guys that come frequently. That energy on the basketball court for those guys that are playing, they see us there. They hear us saying the things that we're saying. I was the first game, man, I was coaching. I was coaching. I was screaming, there. Like, I was pointing everywhere, like, get up. Shot clock. I mean, it's an extra voice.
Like, well, that's what I'm speaking, you in the corner. No, you need room to
move. I told them I like that spot. I love that spot. That spot is a good spot. It's a good spot for the playoffs because I'm into the game, you know, and I think more so because I coached professionally for 4 years. So, and a lot of people don't know that I did that. So when I'm looking at the game, I'm seeing it from so many different viewpoints of how we could actually make adjustments. And we made those adjustments. And I spoke about the adjustments that we needed to make, especially from the first game. You look at the first game we played against Boston, right? You look at Mikal Bridges. His defense went from back heel on Tatum to all the way up on the basketball. And I'm screaming at the beginning of the year, you got to get up. You're going to get picked. Boom, he was getting picked, and Tatum was getting off. He was playing like that in that rhythm until the playoffs, and then we changed our whole strategy against them.
Could you ever see yourself maybe being an assistant in the NBA or even in college now? Like, in college football, they hire all these former players to take over a program with NIL.
I do. I love college. I love NIL. Come on, I'm part of the of it happening, NIL.
Every kid would get a star, Barry, I'll tell you that.
You know, so... I do love the idea of being in helping the next generation of players globally, not just here, because I live in China as well. So, you know, China, America, Hong Kong, these three places are the places where I spent most of my time. But more so now, America, you know, because my mom fell ill, but I'm home and I'm, you know, we taking care of my mom, but... You know, to be home and to be able to be mixed back into the environment of basketball and to, like, start to see the transformation of a city and a team changing the culture is beautiful, because in order to really win, the whole city has to be on one page. You look at Boston, no matter how you look at Boston, that's a sports town, because when you look at Boston, from their viewpoint, they're used to winning championships.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we're not used to winning championships. So the way how they're viewing us and seeing us, they're looking at us like what some people call us, peasants, right? Which is cool. I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. And it's okay. It's all right. But we're not. Like, this is the shift in the culture. And the team that we have guys that have won championships in college. So they understand the feeling. They understand the temperament. They've won on a national stage in college, which is pretty, that's a big event. Because you got over how many people to go to NCAA?
68.
Exactly.
Feels like 168.
100%. So you feel what I'm saying? So these guys, the Nova Knicks, they know.
And you can't place a value on guys that are just winners. Because, like, when Jalen Brunson came to the Knicks, I know how well Leon, right, knows the entire Brunson family. They're practically family.
They are.
But Leon knew that Jalen was a winner. Mm-hmm. And if you would have told me, even, and I was a pro Jalen Brunson guy, that he was going to change this franchise around in that first contract, I wouldn't have thought that. But here we are. What do you notice why Jalen has been not only been able to take his game to the next level, but bring this franchise back?
First, one, the energy. One, he has the spirit. He has a really good spirit. From just how he talks about his wife,
mm-hmm.
and his family. He loves his family. You know his situation. Rick, I played against his father.
Yeah.
I know him. It's hard to play against him. Always tough. Temple, wake up 5 mm-hmm. in the morning. That's his style.
John Chaney.
You know what I'm saying? It's a mind frame. It's what it is. So he comes from that pedigree of grinding, working hard, getting up, putting in the work. So when I see a guy like that who says, I'm willing to take $50 million less to be able to really put it in place, it's old school style and what he's doing. Like, I'm not going out recruiting. If you come, you come. You know what I'm saying? And if we could build a team of guys who want to come and who want to be in this organization, we can literally build something around a guy like that. So one, he takes $50 million less. It shows where his mind is at and what he's thinking. Now he's on the basketball court dancing. So now he got all of the positive energy. I'm telling you, the basketball gods are going to be kind to us this year. This is our year.
You think the Knicks are winning the championship this year?
I believe we're winning the championship this year.
So what would you say, because Paul Pierce, right, he got online the other day and he goes, the Pacers are going to pop the Knicks, and the Knicks are just lucky that the Celtics got hurt. What would you say to Paul when you hear something like that?
The little leprechaun was jumping around in our pocket, and now we put the little leprechaun in the back of our pocket. He's not jumping around and talking anymore when we walk forward. We don't see him anymore.
Yeah.
At first, we seen him when he was supposedly taking his walk.
Yeah.
I guess he took his walk.
You don't buy he actually took the walk?
I seen he was walking, right? He had a robe. I never saw no sweat. I never seen him barefooted. I never seen those shots. I mean, for me, if I say I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that and make it. I'm like, I'm really going to film me walking 20 miles, right? You know what I'm saying? But that wasn't what it was. So it actually wasn't even funny anymore after I saw it. It would have been better if he pulled up in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already spoofed himself on that, so why not just keep going?
But you look at the Knicks, people will say, okay, they could get to the finals, but they can't win a championship. Why do you feel so confident they can win the championship this year?
I feel like the basketball gods will be kind to us this year. We've committed ourselves. They're doing, the organization is in the space that probably people will probably never, ever see. That they've ever seen Dolan stopping and throwing basketballs out the kids. You know what I'm saying? It's the mind frame is shifting and it's changing. It's not the same energy inside of the arena. It's everyone is on the same page. And it started at the beginning of the season. When people were speaking and talking about the Knicks, I'm like, don't let people confuse you. If we can't stick together and stay together as a team, trust me. I'm talking about as the fans, because you know how that can start. And I'm like, man, we got a really good team. We got guys that work hard. We got guys that play together. We don't have no jealousy. Yeah, guys bicker and...
But that's normal. That's in the course normal. Of the season.
Especially if you're not winning. You do all of what you go... You grow through all of what you go through during the regular season to get to the second season, which is the playoffs. The third season is the championship. It's three seasons in basketball, right? The regular season, right? The playoffs, and then the finals. All different phases of the game because there's different levels of it, right? In the finals, there's no mistakes. It's only shots. Turnovers, 5, 6 minimum. 10, 11, 12, you probably going to be like, oh, we know who's going to win today. They're not making any turnovers. Yeah. They're not turning the ball over. They're making their free throws. And not only are they making their free throws, they're rebounding. They're giving you one shot, and they're defending. So they got you under 39% shooting. You're shooting 48, 49, 50 because they're playing defense, good defense as well, right? So now when you're looking at the game, you're like, this is a good game, but they're turning the ball over. So you can literally see the mistakes in the game.
And I'll tell you, when we talked about it, Steph Amari Berry here with us. We'll talk about Camelo in just a second. But you know that Jalen Brunson is going to go get his.
Why not?
Even when he doesn't even have his best game, he still gets 27 mm-hmm. points. You know that OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges have to get like 18 plus. Cat, he's so polarizing unintentionally mm-hmm. where there are games where he's always going to get a double-double, but does he have that killer instinct? What I saw in game 6, that to me was a different Cat. That was an unbelievable Cat where he was like, this is my game, and I'm not letting anyone deny me.
I'm just going to say what Big Mick said. We've been here before. And when he said that, it was like ringing an alarm. Like, hold up. This is not a new alarm that you're hearing. Let me ring it again. We know this sound. We've been here before. We've been in this position before. Let's not. That dude covered 5. He was running down the middle of the court. He stopped the basketball. He stopped the ball here. He stopped the ball here. Then he ran to the middle. Then he ran out to the corner and closed out. He ran up high hands, closed out, shoved, you know, foot fire all the way down to the corner. And then my man Jalen, it then got the steal.
Yep.
That was the fans, the energy. I'm telling you, the dude Jalen Brown was throwing the basketball to invisible people.
The ghost of the garden.
I'm telling you, literally.
I think you just got it in his head, if I'm being honest.
It was so crazy. It was so loud inside of mm-hmm. the garden. It was the loudest I ever heard it in there.
Yeah.
It was crazy loud.
I was only at game 4. I wasn't at 6. Man. I thought 4 was ridiculous.
Okay, first of all, we got our fan base. It's all right. You got to look at our fan base. Our fan base is new. These kids are different.
Yeah.
They're smart. They're educated with AI. They are very well aware of what goes on. Within seconds, they can be like, yeah, right.
Get the viral video.
Basically. They know because AI tell you. So you type somebody's name, they know. It come right out. Right? So now they know what's going on. So it's a different fan base. So they're supporting the real. They're not supporting guys that are going out when, you know, we picked some guys because they got a big name. That's not what's going on. They're supporting good basketball, winning basketball, guys that are committing themselves, getting hurt, coming back. Bridges, everybody should be like trying to go to his training camp. Whatever he's doing,
yeah.
Kids need to do what he's doing.
A lot of minutes.
Dead serious. It's not so much about the minutes. It's about what he's doing to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because this dude, he gets hurt too. He get hit. He falls. And he just keep getting up, like peeling somebody up. And just throwing back up, and he just start playing again. And then he just plays and plays and plays and plays. So when he complained about the minutes, I was like, this is like that part that you have with your coach where you're used to him, but you're like tired of him.
Yeah.
But the other guys, like Jalen.
Went to couples therapy for a little bit. That's what happened.
Yeah, Jalen and them, they like, it's not going to change. Like, this is what it is.
When Tibbs was out of a job, he would come on this show all the time. And I said, what do you say to people that say your demanding style is going to prevent you from another job? And he goes, I'm not the first demanding coach, and I definitely won't be the last.
Nope, get in better shape. I tell people, if you sign a big deal with an organization, and you know that this coach is known for practicing hard and he practiced long.
Yeah.
You're signing up for it. I don't want to hear anything else. You're signing up for it. Now, if you get traded to the team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one he did, yeah.
Okay, some guys, it happens. But guys that sign up for it, they already know what it is.
And he wanted to come here.
100%.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't him bickering.
Yeah.
He was tired. His body was tired.
And it happens.
It happens. And what he do? He went out and hit a game winner.
And won the first two Boston games, too.
You know
with
what
that
I'm
defensive
saying?
Play.
That dude bridges from the second half of Boston, the first game that we played Boston.
Yeah.
The second half, he never looked back. He had some up and down games. That's Phil. Just like Cat. All of them had to have Phil throughout the whole year. And in order for them to really understand each other as a whole, they had to grow through a whole season. So now they know character. They know when they get in certain situations. They know when they're in the locker room. Who not doing this? Who not doing that? Who not really doing what they're supposed to do in the weight room? They governing each other because they really want to win. You can see that.
Tell me what we got cooking with the shades.
Camelo, next wave of the future technology. The technology go from light to dark within 0.9 seconds. We have it with for baseball players. I went to the baseball game yesterday. I didn't get to see the game, but normally watching baseball players wear the glasses is pretty cool because they could wear them to warm up for, warm-ups when they throwing the ball, batting practice or whatever, and they could listen to music so they could stay in their zone.
Yeah.
And then when the game start, they could take those off and then they could put the shield on. And when they put the shield on, the shield is a lighter version, and this version is like for them to be able to move around, make plays, and do the things that they do when they're playing. Jose Reyes is the first person that
you want to talk about style. He's got it.
Yeah, yeah. He's the first. He's the first person that I signed with Camelo. So Camelo signed him. He was our first sign. He was super happy about that. That's my brother. Mad love. Shout out to him. But yeah, that's pretty much what we've been doing with the brand. So,
well, let me do this. I got to take a 5-minute break. I just want to ask you a few more things on the basketball front. So let's just take a break. We'll come on back in 5 minutes. Stephon Marbury is here with us. And man, you are always dressed perfectly. I'm telling you, you go to the Knicks games, they bring out the Jenners, they bring out Chalamet. It doesn't matter. Stephon Marbury is the definition of aura right now in Madison Square Garden.
Love.
So let's take a break. We'll come on back in 5 minutes, do a few more topics around the NBA with the great Stephon Marbury. All righty, hour number 3 of our radio program. Stephon Marbury here with us once again. Make sure you get out of the shades right now. Camelo, unbelievable look. As Steph is here with us. Man, I feel like we're doing a show even during the breaks. You're watching ESPN, it's on the studio. And the question right now, who's been the MVP of the playoffs so far? And you're very opinionated on this one.
Hey, I'll give it to him, even though it's like the Joker, it's like every year he's the MVP.
Yeah, well, I think Shea's going to win this year.
Yeah, this year. I mean, Shea definitely should get it this year. But yeah, I mean, I got Shea winning the MVP. I got Jalen Brunson, first team, all NBA. Easy, hands down. First team, all NBA.
Do you feel like Jalen still gets disrespected?
I think Jalen's personality, because he's not about everything he's not about what everybody else is about. And I don't, even you look at his Instagram, it's subtle. Not a lot of fans, but which will grow. But I think because people aren't used to his personality yet, but after he holds the trophy up, I think his personality is going to erupt.
We'll see. I don't. He's so even keel.
I think so.
Yeah,
when I say erupt,
Villanova.
Like he's going to be happy. Like
yeah,
he's not. I'm not looking at when I say erupt, meaning like he's going to speak. He's going to talk. Like we worked so hard. We did this. People doubted us. This happened. Da da da. Because you can't. You got to use that as fuel, right? And that's basically what he's doing. He's using it as fuel when he hears people say he's too small, and you're small when you played. I'm like, it's those kind of comments. Those, they don't go nowhere.
Those hit deep.
I mean, because it's
you
like,
store them.
Yeah, because you're like, you small. You're small. like, so what did you do different when you were on the court that I'm not doing different? And I'm not, and I bring that up. It doesn't matter who said it, if it was said. I'm just saying, as a small guard, I'm 6 foot. So if I get on the court, when I'm playing on the court, so if another small guard say that they don't think that I'm capable of doing something because I'm small, that's a little, you know, the thinking, it's like you're just talking. You're not really thinking when you're talking.
That's why I kind of like the Final Four teams here, because if you look at the best player in the Final Four teams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP of the league right mm-hmm. now, looking to win his first ever championship. Mm-hmm. Ant is on the verge of becoming the face of the league. Mm-hmm. And then you have Jalen, speaks for itself. But then Halliburton, this dude was voted the most overrated player, and it's back-to-back years the man's in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, he's this guy, you know, he knows how to play.
Yeah.
So because he knows how to play, he has an orthodox style in how he shoots the ball. It's like, you don't know, it's like hit or miss, but he knows when it's going to go in because he has the confidence to shoot it. But his ability to make plays and see over the defense and, you know, still have maintain the confidence is good. And it's challenging for us. But I think this is personal. And I think getting on the court with them this playoffs while we're healthy and they're healthy, I think it's a different tune. And inside our building is going to be different this year around because the energy is different because our guys are actually resting and preparing and looking at film from last year when they played against us. I know I would be. I'll be watching all of what I did to them last year and watching what they did to me because, to me, it's personal.
I think it's Knicks and six. What do you think this year?
That's what I'm going. I'm going Knicks and six.
Okay. That's been the chance.
Let me see. 1-2 home. Yeah, I'm going five.
Oh, now you sound like the guy.
I said five the first time. I'm going.
Knicks five.
I'm going. No, I'm going. We win our first two home games. Mm-hmm. I think we not crush them. I think we do. We do something different. We play a great game. Like we play great basketball.
Okay,
that's what I think. I think you know great basketball. Like you watch Princeton, you're like, man, if those guys can really just dunk. Like wow, because I can appreciate watching biddies play if they know how to play.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the little kids, midgets, biddies. I love watching little kids play. But when you watch basketball and you can see execution, and you see how it happens and how it formulates, it's pretty dope. And everything is. It's the mind when going playing in Ivy League, which is what I love about it. When I talk to my son about Ivy League, and watching basketball right now being played, I feel like sometimes we watch the Knicks play like that. Sometimes
they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah,
because
styles,
and also a lot of people just. Never expected Brunson to be a one in a championship team or even Cat being disrespected and he's been their second best player. And then you just see the toughness of an OG Anunoby and a Mikal Bridges-Deuce off the bench. Mitch Robinson getting better at the free throw line. There's outside of just people not liking New York, there's very little to dislike
about this team.
But check
it though, but this is the fly part. Mitch made the adjustment during the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's that right there.
After the air balls and all that.
Bruh, like, that's completely different. It's not the same situation. Like, when you go into, a big man shooting free throws consistently every year with the mind frame that people are going to foul me, that's something to deal with. Like, that's a nerve wracking mm-hmm. until you say, you know what? I'm going to make this decision and I'm going to shoot these free throws exactly like I'm about to shoot them. Boom, 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 five in a row. But what he did was he was following through. It still was a pew.
Yeah, with a line drive. it hit a glove, though.
But, you know, he's tall, so it kind of went pew, but like, pew.
You know, you can't speak to experience of this. As a big guy that was very bad at the charity stripe,
so it's
it doesn't
okay,
matter
though.
How it goes in as long as it goes in.
Hey, mate, Big Mix did it. Look, Big Mix followed me today.
Yeah,
he followed
oh,
me
he?
On IG today. I got a follow from Big Mix today.
Now you gotta get a truck like his. You see his truck?
It's crazy. I seen it yesterday. It was sick. I mean, I seen it. I followed him. I was like, oh, we just not be doing it out of the gate.
Mitch and I are the same level now.
Okay. But nah, it's good, man. It's seeing look things like that.
Yeah.
Like him making those free throws. It showed Boston fans like, oh. It's like those things during when you watching a game and you go to the line, you go to the like, oh, he's gonna miss these. And then you go, and then you see this dude like Duke, and you like, hold up.
He could do it.
Did they lower the rim?
Anything's possible.
Did they lower the rim? Like, how did that happen like that? That fast, like that? How did he last game he was shooting like this, and then this game, this is how he Nah, this ain't it.
Let me ask you about Anthony Edwards, because I know you started your career in Minnesota. Mm. To see what he's been doing the last 2 years, and he's knocking on the door of going to the NBA Finals. Mm. It's going to be tough up against the Thunder. Mm. What stands out to you with Ant?
First, you know, when I found out about his mom and his grandma, when I learned about that, I said, oh, okay, I got a different viewpoint from him. But actually, once he learns how to channel that energy and use that energy as a motor to, like really figure it out, forget about the face of the league. I mean, this guy does things like Michael Jordan on the basketball court. And I'm not saying something that nobody else is saying. And when you see things like that as a guy who played professional basketball. I played against Jordan, I played against Kobe, and I played against LeBron. And I've never seen nobody like Jordan until I seen Kobe. And I never seen nobody like Jordan until I seen a younger version like Anthony Edwards play like how Mike played when he was younger. See, Kobe didn't play like Michael Jordan when he was young. Kobe had his own little style. It evolved into him playing exactly like Michael Jordan. But Anthony Edwards, he came in the game with a whole bunch of different things that we didn't see from Michael Jordan. That was different. And now the kids, you remember Soaring? Remember that, right? Kids do that now, like, backwards. That's nothing.
I do that in a Fisher-Price hoop.
So this is, right, me too.
Yeah.
You puff. You already know. Puff. That's how we practice our dunks.
Or I do that, and then I wake up, and I'm like, oh, I was dreaming.
So, you know, when you see guys like Anthony Edwards coming to the game, playing like that, but with his own style, with handle, with leading the lead in three-point shots, telling everybody, I'm going to lead the lead in threes. I'm going to take them and I'm going to make them. You know what I'm saying? Like Floyd Mayweather's model. I said, Floyd, man, why is your percentage so high? He said, I don't swing at moving targets. And I was like, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So when I see Anthony Edwards, I'm like, it's there's no limit. He just, he stopped, he makes it. I mean, only God can give him the ability, but he can be the vehicle to do some amazing things.
Do you think they beat the Thunder? I feel like the Thunder are the better team, but I'm not betting against Ant right now.
The only reason why I would say the Thunder will beat them is because of that feeling that they felt last year when they were in the finals. I don't think this is a stop that they're playing. This is not a pit stop.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a pit stop.
I don't
look at them as them seeing Minnesota like that. And Minnesota is looking at them like, we here.
Yeah. Second year in a row they're here.
We're here for real. We're not, you know, we're here. Which makes that an exciting Western Conference Finals. But when you look at this Eastern Conference Finals, first of all, there's no hype. Minnesota, and there's no disrespect to Minnesota, and there's no disrespect to Oklahoma. None.
You think there's more hype for the Knicks than the Pacers?
I don't think.
Oh, I think there's more hype for Ann and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
No.
National hype. Not locally here, obviously. It's different.
No. You don't understand. The Pacers, it's going to be a fight in Indiana. It's going to be a fight.
And you got Reggie Miller doing the games.
This is different.
But that's Ann and Shai going up against
one another. It's one-on-one. That's two guys that's going to do that. This is, y'all bumped us last year. Our noise is making it violent all over the planet for everybody to know. You better watch this.
Let me ask you here. Giannis. Do you think Giannis should force a trade now? You think he needs to leave the Bucks? Because I think they hit a dead end right now.
They got a chip. They good. I mean, he did what he did.
But he wants another one.
If he's willing to grow through that process, then why not? Just figure it out. Like, figure out who wants to go to Wisconsin.
Yeah, and they got people. Like, they had. I know Dame's hurt now, but they got Dame there.
If it's not a winning organization and the franchise isn't winning, people are not picking up to just go there and say, I'm going to live in. They're not going to do that. Not in this day and age when you can pick and choose. You got to really be winning and rocking and rolling. If you're not, no dice.
All right. Last thing I'll ask you, once again, you know, hype up Camelo before we let you go.
Check it out, camelo.com. See different, be different, baby.
The shades you just changed the colors on me like that. They're I have different. No clue where you're looking now.
They different. They different.
And you roll up to the garden with those, and you got the hat on and everything. It's looking good.
When you wear these glasses, right, and you are outside, if you have them like this, and the sun pops out, you just automatically just transition.
There you go.
Right. And these are the stylish kind. We have other kinds where you can play music. So when you're running, going for a jog, you know, you can do the same thing, and you can talk on the phone. Play your music. So, yeah. Then we have another style, which we did with the Knicks collaboration.
Mm-hmm. I see those at the Garden, yeah.
Yeah, the Knicks collaboration, where it's prismatic, it's four different colors. So they go from like pink, blue, clear, like a light blue, which is pretty dope because it's never been seen before. It's the first ever. So, we're pretty cool. We're pretty happy about that. It's cool. Like, guys like Bad Bunny wore the shades on Jimmy Fallon. Shaq, plug this, my big brother Tracy Morgan. Shout out to Big Morgan. He was like, yo, Steph, we gonna win? We gonna win? What's gonna be? What's gonna be with Boston? We gonna win a game? They say we're not even gonna win a game.
Yeah, we won four.
Nah, this is... You know he's a big Knicks fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was like, yo, they keep saying that we're not going to win one game. Yeah. I was like, we're going to win one game. At least one. Come on. In fact, we're going to win a series. Yeah. He was like, you think we could beat them? I said, watch. I said, you just think about it. You watch when we played against them the last game we played of the year. And when we had them on the ropes, you know what they resorted to doing? Shooting more three-point mm-hmm. shots. I said, we're going to beat them. I'm like, if they don't got nobody that can get to the rack and draw a foul and really dance and get there every single time where they could put pressure to be able to get into the penalty fast, they don't got nobody to do that. Pritchard, I love him shooting three-point shots. I like actually when he makes shots because then he starts shooting from anywhere. But in the fourth,
Derek White.
Yeah, they just start shooting from anywhere. Look, Fool's goal is real. The first three quarters, guys make a lot of shots in the mm-hmm. first three quarters, but it's that last quarter. We don't call him Captain for nothing.
He is Stephon Marbury. Steph, appreciate you coming on in. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. And by the way, best to your mom, too.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Appreciate
it. We'll take a time out. We'll come on back after these short messages.